test one, two, test. Oh, I'm not. I don't. Check one, two, check. Oh, wow. Check, check, check. Okay, there we go. I got to turn it down a bit. Give me a level check, Dan. What did you have for breakfast this morning?
My name is Dan Williams, MLA for Peace River constituency, and I have yet to have breakfast.
Oh, my word. You know what? I'm in the same position. Okay, perfect. So these are good levels. Here we go in 3, 2, 1. And before you go, if you want to take pictures, by all means. Okay, so okay, 3, 2, 1. That means cut here. All right. With me right now is in a live edition of the Trending 55 Hot Seat. And we know that Minister Schweitzer comes on, joins us every week, but Dan Williams, Peace River's MLA, is here in the house. That's even bigger than the minister actually calling in. So, Dan, you know, busy Monday morning. First off, thank you for coming by to the station to chat with us, as always.
Happy to chat with you, Kenny, and all the listeners, too.
All right, Dan. So, first off, I guess congratulations to the town of Peace River and to you as well for the Reservoir 365 completion. The ribbon was cut this past Friday. $6.3 million project, which I know that the mayor and council specifically went out of their way to thank you for the $2.7 million, I should say, contribution from the provincial government. And one thing that we've known that since you've been in this position is that when there's a need in this town, you've always gone to the ministers and say, hey, this needs to happen. Is this a similar case of that?
Well, this was a good example of right away, as soon as I was elected, collaborating, working with the town of Peace River, spoke with the mayor and different council members about it immediately, and worked to make sure that we can get the funding that we need for an essential drinking water project. And the minister and this government always understood that where there's a high need, we have to make sure we deliver.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was a key one, too. But also not only for that, but for the safety of South End residents as well, because it increases quadruples the capacity in terms of water storage in cubic meters. And this is also important for firefighting.
That's right. That's right. I understand the municipal governments across the province deal with a lot of the very difficult services that need to be delivered. I thank them for that, particularly the town of Peace River. And for our part, we have to, where we can, collaborate with municipalities and find those good news stories. And this is definitely one of them.
Yeah, definitely one. Big congratulations to you and the town as well on that. And also another one, too, that we know that you've been working on. This is one of the first boards that you've been assigned to since I started working here. And that was the Bistu Lake development in terms of the caribou populations up there. What's the latest on that? I know that's one of your pet projects.
That's right. Well, I've been appointed by the minister to be the chair of the Bistu Lake Task Force for caribou and range plan development. So we submitted our recommendations earlier this summer, and the department is currently working with the minister. They've received those recommendations, creating a draft range plan, and from that draft range plan will come back to the committee and to the public at large and Indigenous communities for consultation afterwards. I'm very excited that we're going to end up, I think, having for the first time in the area a range plan in the region for the Bistu Lake, and it will help not only give certainty to businesses and residents who live there in terms of development and resource extraction in responsible ways, but also it will help the population of caribou and the ecology as a whole make sure that it's sustainable for generations to come for Albertans.
Yeah, definitely. I've been seeing a lot of that in terms of caribou kind of losing their populations or losing some of their land areas, so definitely something to keep an eye on. And another one as well is that last week, as we learned on last week, that you are appointed by the Health Minister, Tyler Shandro, to be the lead consultant on how to spend the remaining $14 million. And I'm assuming at this point that the approach of the government has always just been consult, consult, consult. So I'm assuming you're going to be probably getting out there on an ambitious trail to hear from as many people as you can.
That's right. I'm now the lead in government consultations for the palliative care initiative that the government had. In our platform, we committed $20 million to palliative care in the province of Alberta. And the purpose of it is to make sure that those Albertans who are at end of life end up having those options presented to them. The announcement that the minister made the other day while I was there was also to end co-payments for palliative care end-of-life drugs. So what that means is if someone's at that stage in their life, there's going to be less financial burden on them for that co-payment. The approach of the government is to consult with all the different stakeholders, and that means consulting with individual groups that deal with palliative care, to deal with institutions, consult with them, folks who are in that line of work. But Albertans as a whole, folks have to understand that this is an aspect of healthcare that every single Albertan will either face themselves or have a family member face. So much of the rest of our healthcare are in emergency situations or folks who happen to end up in that spot needing that care. Palliative care and end of life is something that every family has to deal with. And it's important that we deal with it in a way that's upfront and honest with ourselves. And we have to also, as a province and a community, turn towards the difficulties that we're going to face. And that's why this extra $14 million that we're now going to consult to find the best way to spend are so vitally important, because every Albertan passes through that aspect of our healthcare system.
Yeah, that's one of the guarantees is that when you're born, you eventually, unfortunately, for better or worse, we do have an expiry date. In terms of also as well, we also know that a couple months ago that there was an announcement made about small modular nuclear reactors. And 2009, I was not here at that time. That was a very hot button issue. And I'm sure that your office must have received a lot of questions about this. Is there an opportunity here in this region to restart that conversation, do you think?
Well, so first, let's talk about this memorandum of understanding that we have with SMRs, or small modular reactors. Alberta government, along with a couple of other governments, provincial governments across the country, have entered into this with an attempt to be at the forefront of this technology as it comes in. It's a new technology, and the amount of energy that these small reactors produce, and the modular, and that they can be produced in a factory somewhere, shipped on a truck or on a train, out into the field somewhere, and they can produce the energy you might need for developing resources, say in the oil and gas industry. Small towns could benefit from this. It's not the same size as those larger nuclear reactors that we looked at in the past with Bruce Energy in the area. They really are smaller. And should industry, private business, take up the opportunity and start developing these at a retail level where it can be deployed and scaled up, we need to make sure that we're prepared. Not just in terms of the regulation, which is one of the things we're working with these other provinces, is to be prepared when that comes in, that we're properly protecting individuals who work in the industry and Albertans, but then also looking at the technology itself, making sure that it is in a spot where it can be scaled up, where businesses would want to do that. So that's what this understanding is. And it's not the kind of thing where today or tomorrow we're going to see small modular reactors in our communities, but should that happen in the near future, we want to be prepared. And of course, I'd love to see Peace River be participating in this program. If it were to be taken up by private industry, I think it's a huge opportunity, and a lot of the development that we see in resources in the area could possibly benefit massively from this kind of technology.
Yeah, definitely should be interesting, and we look forward to keeping an eye on that. Now, Dan, also as well, is that this is that time of the year where MLAs have a chance to go around their constituencies, hear various concerns of the residents, meet with people. We saw this morning you were meeting with the good people at the Peace River School Division. And I know I had a chance to talk with one of your colleagues, Todd Lowen, last week about it. So what are some of the things that you're hearing as you continue to meet with residents from all the way from here to, the Northwest Territories border and everywhere in between? You do have the biggest riding.
Yeah. No, well, obviously, a lot of folks have a lot of different issues in mind. Parents, for sure, are concerned about how they'll roll out folks going back to school and what that's going to look like. By and large, I've heard most parents very happy that they have the chance for their kids to get back into the schools, back into those familiar routines, back to getting an education. Parents are obviously concerned during COVID, but even before that, the priority hasn't changed. They want Alberta working again. They're not looking for handouts. Most folks I'm speaking to are looking for a way to try and get to work themselves, and they want the economy to turn around. That's been a priority for us, and that's why we have our Alberta recovery strategy, where we're developing more jobs, where we are increasing opportunity with building more things in this province, that we are more economically competitive, and we're seeing a growth in the economy because of that. And then obviously there's going to be all sorts of concerns surrounding every little issue as they come up across the province, whether you're in the far south and you're talking about the weather that they have. I mean, harvest has been something that I've heard a lot of concern about from a lot of farmers in the area, with a really bad season this year being very wet, and previously layering year upon year here for a number of these farmers. So that's something I've heard a lot of concern about. Bottom line is, as far as I'm concerned, these last few weeks and the coming few weeks, I'm going to make sure I get out there, I speak to constituents, I've spoken to municipalities about their concerns, speaking to First Nation communities, Métis settlements, speaking to school divisions, speaking to housing authorities, speaking to average citizens, going out to see folks and meet them where they're at and hear where their concerns are. And by and large, I hear Albertans want to work. They want to get their fair share into the Confederation. This isn't going away. And they jealously guard the opportunities and the freedoms that their forefathers have brought to them in the province. So they're going to continue to ask me to make sure I represent them.
All right, Dan. And I know, remember last time we had a chat about this, last time we did the in-person chat, that's when you had given your endorsement to federal candidate Leslyn Lewis, and every once in a while, even though you're a provincial member, never hurts to have a little discussion about what's going on in the federal in terms of political analysts. So
that's
putting on your political analyst hat, overall, your thoughts on Erin O'Toole taking the leadership? Certainly seems like a popular candidate out here in Alberta, and Leslyn performed quite well.
Yeah, well, first of all, I have to say I thought I was very excited to see that that the leadership race happened. And we saw a record number of folks participating in that. It was a huge amount of participation. And I'm just so proud of the work that Leslyn did. Obviously, would have liked to have seen her do better, but for the record, I mean, she won the popular vote in Alberta and in points in the second round of voting, right? Popular vote.
Saskatchewan, too.
Saskatchewan right off the start. Western Canada just went, you know, all in. Whole hog voting for Leslyn. She did incredibly well. She's obviously tapped into a huge concern. And for all those detractors out there that say conservatives are backward thinking, let me tell you, there's not a lot more forward thinking than an immigrant lawyer from Jamaica with a PhD who practices human rights law, wanting to bring forward out Canada and particularly conservatives in Canada to a place where we can advocate for the interests of the entire country. I thought she was a great candidate, incredibly articulate, really thoughtful. But that being said, I was very happy to see Erin O'Toole get chosen. I think he's going to be a terrific candidate, going to contribute to the national conversation, something that dearly needs to happen. I think everyone who paid attention to the last election saw that there wasn't a single Liberal elected between Winnipeg and Kamloops. And there's a lot of folks in the Prairie provinces, the interior of BC, that are really concerned, that want to make sure their voice is heard in Ottawa. And the province of Alberta is part of that, both in terms of the way that we voted. But let's remember that the government of Alberta had the Fair Deal panel.
Mm-hmm.
That from that panel came a number of recommendations that we're currently looking at. And there will be in the 2021 municipal election coming up next fall, a year from now. There will be a referendum on equalization. There could be more referenda included in that as well. It's something that we need to make sure we charitably, as part of Confederation, make the argument to Mr. Trudeau and his friends that Alberta's here, we're not going anywhere, we matter, and we want to make sure we get a fair deal in this partnership.
Now, you're also the member of the UCP party as well, and I'd seen online that actually at the party's AGM, Erin O'Toole will actually be there to speak. So right off the bat, he shows that he at least is willing to have that conversation with Albertans, where mainly with the current government, you wonder if there really is a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, we need to work with whatever government's currently in power, especially in the midst of a crisis with a global pandemic of coronavirus. We need to. But I don't think there's any conservative in Alberta that hides the fact that we're really concerned about getting a fair deal. We're really concerned that Ottawa just doesn't get the way we contribute, that the current government isn't paying attention in the way that it should be. And we need to do that. That's our responsibility as elected officials, looking after the constituents who elected us, the industries they work in, the communities where they recreate, where they live, where they want to set down roots, where they have set down roots for generations. We need to defend that. I think we need to make sure we make that case very strongly to Mr. Trudeau. And I am concerned about some of the policies he has. And I'm concerned about the way that he's responded. But that being said, in the meantime, I'm going to work with whoever's there as collaboratively as I can, while not giving up our principles as Albertans.
All right, and I guess one of the final questions I have for you here is that We know that it's a pretty aggressive legislative session coming up in the fall. At least that's what Minister Schweitzer kind of indicated, at least from his ministry. So is there anything out there in terms of the government's fall plan that you're really excited about to say, wait, I can't wait that till that happens?
Well, I mean, I'm concerned about everything. If you want a preview of what we're doing, all you have to do is pick up the United Conservative Party platform from the previous election. And you will see most of it crossed out with check marks completed. What's not left is what we're doing. Now, in terms of details of exactly what's happening, obviously, it's going to have to wait till that legislation's tabled. But I am excited. But the fact is that I ran for office because I believe we need to make sure there's opportunity for generations of Albertans to come. I'm a millennial, and I think millennials for a long time have been letting our parents and grandparents carry the water for our province, and more that I speak to are the same age as me. We care about the future. We're starting to have families and kids, and we have a stake and an interest that Alberta is a land of opportunity like it's been for a long time. And the fiscal update that Minister Travis Toews gave in the end of August is something that really concerns us. We realize that we're $24 billion deficit this year. That's out of a $56 billion budget. That's about almost 45% of our budget is a deficit. That's a fiscal reality that we can't ignore. Now, any household that I know, when they don't have the money that they need, they think about ways to spend within their means. We have to look at ways to spend within our means, and that's going to be a real difficult challenge for this government and for this province, for industries, families. They've been doing that already. Household income has been down over 10%. Unemployment's up in real terms, probably close to 20%. It's been really hard on a lot of Albertans, and inevitably that's going to have to reflect in the way that Albertans expect their government to be run. So we have to be responsible. We have to think about the sacrifices Albertans have made, and we'll have to do the same.
Well, should be interesting to see how that goes as it goes along. A lot of interesting choices coming up. Dan, always appreciate you coming in to spend a little bit of time with us and be live on the hot seat.
Absolutely. Happy to be here, Kenny. We'll see you again soon.
Absolutely. This is Peace River MLA Dan Williams, and this is another edition of the Trending 55 Hot Seat.